Mike, since 9 o'clock, call the meeting to order. We've got Commissioner Pennell and Strahan, and we've got our auditor's office here.
Motion to approve payroll.
Second. Any questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, that's it. We're ready to get into KDOC and Slough Hollow and Arkansas Game and Fish. Welcome, everybody.
Sure, I appreciate that. I guess I'll kick us off. I'm Mike Armstrong, I'm Assistant Director with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, and for the past 8 or 9 years, I've been the project leader for the Game and Fish on the Minimum Flow Project. And I don't know how informed y'all are, up to speed y'all are on the whole Minimum Flow Project that affects Norfolk and Bull Shoals. So if I say something that you need some clarity or some background on, just stop me, because I'm going to just give you kind of a real brief thumbnail sketch of what brought us here and why we're here today to kind of set up the purpose of the meeting. And then I'm going to allow Dale and Mike Contrell to discuss what we're proposing for Slough Hollow Road. But the Minimum Flow Project is a project that has been authorized by Congress to reallocate 5 foot of flood storage in Bull Shoals Lake and to implement a minimum flow of release of water below Bull Shoals Dam for fish and wildlife purposes. And essentially what it does is that under current authorization, or prior authorization now, whenever water was not being released for flood control or hydropower purposes, the turbines shut down and the only water entering the White River is from leakage from the dam. And the state has been seeking some relief from that to improve our fish and wildlife assets below the dam. And so working with Congress and the Corps of Engineers, there was a reallocation of storage within the lake, and Congress directed how that storage would be kept and how it would be released and how minimum flow would be implemented. And the project report has been approved, the EIS that brings us to this point. But one of the things that that Congress directed was that it told the Corps of Engineers that to proceed with minimum flow, you had to have a non-federal sponsor on it. So the Game and Fish has agreed to be that non-federal sponsor. And it was the role of the non-federal sponsor to relocate and mitigate lakeside facilities that may be impacted from the increase of storage in Bull Shoals Lake in order to basically keep them whole. And the actual wording in the Act says to for reasonable continued use. So we've been working with the Corps of Engineers to identify all the facility impacts around Bull Shoals Lake, and all of that information is contained in the project report. And one of the facilities that was identified by the Corps in their review of impacts to Bull Shoals Lake was about that half-mile section of Slough Hollow Road, and I'm sure y'all all know what section I'm talking about, that runs right about 659, 660 elevation. And so in the interest of keeping and to meet our obligation for that reasonable continued use, what we are proposing to do is to elevate that road to keep it roughly the same amount of flooding that it has endured or sustained under the current use or the current operation of Bull Shoals Lake prior to the implementation of minimum flow. And right now, Slough Hollow, that section of Slough Hollow Road, is flooded between 20 and 23% of the time annually, on average. Now, y'all all know, there's, if you're familiar with Bull Shoals Lake, there are years when Slough Hollow Road is, what, in 2008, 2009, it's probably underwater 70% of the time. And then there are other times of the year during drought that it's, you know, maybe flooded maybe 10% of the time. But on average, looking over the period of record and following the Corps' modeling of the hydrology and hydraulics of Bull Shoals Lake, about 20% of the time. So what we're proposing to do is to elevate the lake elevate the road 3 feet. And what that'll do is it'll keep it roughly whole. It'll still roughly flood about 20 to 23% of the time. But we're also proposing to do some improvements to bring the road up to current
road standards. I'm going to let Dale explain that. I'm not an engineer. Improve some of the drainage aspects of the road. I'm going to stop there and let Dale take over and show you the plans and specs for Slough Hall Road. But if y'all have any questions about, I covered the history of minimum flow in about 2 or 3 minutes, and it's taken us 15 years to get here. So if y'all have any questions about anything I've said up to now.
We've been, as you know, in a number of meetings about minimum flow. I don't know, 4, 5, or 6 or something. Mm-hmm. And big question about, you know, what's it going to do? Mm-hmm. And what you've just shared with us, saying that you're willing, talking about elevating 3 foot. So is that saying that our lake is going to average 3 foot more in height?
Correct, and that can be confusing because the reallocation is actually 5 foot. It's going from 654 to 659. The new conservation pool level will be at 659. But the reason that in practicality, according to the modeling that was done for the project report and the EIS, that from the lake will actually, on average, be 3 feet higher is because that 5 foot of storage for minimum flow is not static. It's not going to sit at 5 foot all the time. It's kind of like a bathtub in which you're going to be adding water and taking water out at the same time. Now, it may come at different times because minimum flow will only be releasing water when the dam's not operating for hydropower flood control. When the turbines are shut down, then water will be passing through the dam for minimum flow. And that happens roughly about 50% of the time. 50% of the time the generators are on, producing power, releasing flood control, flood waters from the lake. And about 50% of the time the dam shut down. And you all know that rain is not distributed evenly over the year. It comes heavier in the spring and lighter in summertime. But on average, the lake will average about 3 foot higher. And so that's why I'm saying if you look at the flooding frequency and duration on Slough Hollow Road, under current operation, it's underwater or impacted about 20% of the time. So what we're proposing to do is to keep that hole so that you're not losing any use of the road under minimum flow. We'll elevate it that 3 feet so that you're still, you know, under going forward, you'll still expect to be flooded about that 20% of the time. But that 5 foot is confusing. But because we're always drawing water off, you know, sometime during the year, intermittent, that 50% in water comes in, you know, under seasonal basis, it's not going to be like the lake is suddenly going to jump from 654 to 659 and bench at 659. It's actually going to bench somewhat lower than that, about 2 feet lower than that. Glenn,
but we can't.
Missing Glenn. Oh, there he is. Did I misstate something there?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
We can expect that. That's an average increase in elevation, but we can't expect it to be 5 foot higher under normal circumstances at some times. If it's 3 foot, when you say it's 3 foot on an average, that tells me that it's going to be above that or below that to have an average. So
there are times,
we can't expect that.
There are times that it could be at 659, but we would probably start releasing for floodwater conditions if it's forecasted to get above the 659 in elevation.
Right.
But there are going to be times that it could be anywhere from the 652 to the 659 or anywhere thereabouts. But on average, as Mike said, you can project the 657 somewhere near.
Yeah. It's just like now. I mean, the lake, if you look at a frequency duration curve, it benches a little below 654. And that's just an average, and that's all an average is, because every year is different. You got different rainfall events, you got different generation operation demands on the lake. So that's why we're saying, you know, it's going to average not at 659, because, again, we're going to be drawing that 5 foot pool consistently. You know, it's kind of like a bank account. Put a little money in, you take a little money out, you know, you're never up to full capacity, or that bathtub, you're never at full capacity on that bathtub. It's always going to average a little lower. But there's going to be years, you know, 2008 is probably a good situation, which, you know, regardless of minimum flow, you're going to have water inundating Sioux Hollow Road a lot more than you do on average. And then there's going to be years, and y'all can probably remember the drought years of 2000, 2001, 2002, and the lake's at, you know, substantially lower under its average.
Why
so,
why would you want to do that? I'm a little bit confused. We have worked well with the Corps on projects that go to the lake, and we have made improvements on those projects to accommodate minimum flow. So why would Taney County want to take a road and put it at where it floods like it is now when we're trying to make improvements in a situation where we have, that's a bus route mm-hmm. that you're talking about, Sioux Hollow Road is, and it's up to 25 miles around to get people back to the same location from around the other direction. So why wouldn't you want to make it where it didn't flood with a 5-foot raise instead of the 3-foot raise that you're talking about, and improve the road to where we didn't have any problems at that point? Mm-hmm. Because the way we do business here is when we take on project, we've worked with the Corps on projects, we elevate and do our projects to the level that's suitable for possible flooding. We did a road down here that we thought would not flood. It was a 1 in 20 years or something like that deal. First year that after we completed it, it flooded. So there's guesswork there, but at least we made the attempt to do that 1 in 20 years. I can't see that we'd be improving anything if we're going to try to, you're going to raise the water, but we're going to have the same type of situation for our citizens that they've got now. And if that be the case, we're wanting, as you see, we've got a rather long list of roads that are going to be affected either with a turnaround or at some point affected by the minimum flow. And not only the two locations that you guys have, we have Barker Hole and K-Dock there's a whole big long list of roads here, and those were turned in to the Corps, or you guys or somebody was sent in a list of 10 priority roads, and somehow that got lost in the paperwork. We've had discussions about that in the past, but I can't understand why we would fix a road, and this road's a rather lengthy little stretch in there, and why we would fix it to the point to where it was no better than what it is now.
I've got a little different angle before you have a chance to answer. It doesn't, as it's been presented, it doesn't make sense to me that if this is a project that is designed for a 5-foot raise, that we're only going to go on improving 3-foot. Mm-hmm. Just frankly, it seems like you're trying to get by as least that you can, but this project has been 5-foot all along, and yet we're only talking about improving it 3-foot.
Yeah, and that's why...
That doesn't sit right with me.
Phrasing it that it's a 5-foot raise is really not accurate. It's a 5-foot reallocation of storage. But the manifestation of that change is not a 5-foot raise in the lake in the lake's water level. Because of just what I'm trying to explain, that minimum flow is not going to be that pool's not going to be static, that it's always going to sit at 5 foot of storage. We're not going to have 5 foot storage of water in the lake at all times. It's always going to be drawing down throughout the year. And so, and then again, it's always, we're going to get credit for inflow, so that, you know, in kind of an accounting system, when water flows into the lake, the Corps is going to have a system that's going to partition it into what's called the conservation pool, which is used for hydropower purposes, and into the minimum flow pool. But because that water is is over time also being drawn down at the same time putting water into it.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm explaining this right, but it's not a 5 foot raise in the water level. It's a 5 foot change in the storage allocation of the lake. Because the lake storage goes all the way up to, I don't know what the top of flood pool is.
695.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the lake, I don't know if it's ever made 695.
It is. Oh, well,
yeah, it's probably come close. But, you know, that's the Corps' capacity to fill the lake, the bull shells up. Well, it's never even got there because it's such a low frequency of occurrence. You know, it sits currently around 654 to 650, depending on average of the years. And the same thing's going to occur here. Even though it's a change in allocation, the actual manifestation of that change is going to be an increased average pool height of about 3 feet. Now, I don't know any other way to explain that other than maybe graphically try to present it or something like that, because that is a confusing concept. And let me address the point. I'm sorry, I cannot remember.
Strahan.
Strahan.
You may.
Okay. Because there is that opportunity to do just what you're saying. Now, and I'll be perfectly honest and candid with you that Congress said that our obligation is to keep reasonable continued use of lakeside facility. And that's been interpreted as keep everybody whole. Nobody gets hurt from this. Okay? And so if it's flooding 20% of the time, then we're willing and capable and able to restore it to that your current use of the lake. Now, if you want to go beyond that, I mean, we're open to partnering with you guys and bring it up, you know, an additional 2, 3, 4, however much more you want to bring it up.
But you put us in a rather unusual position. We have, from the time Mr. Biggs met with us at the Painting Center up here, I think that's his name, isn't it?
Yeah. Mike
Biggs. And as the time, as the large crowd was involved and people concerned about this situation, from that point on, we understood that we were going to be taken care of by Arkansas Fish and Game. Even at Theodosia, when we were listened to over there, that was the comments that were made, that you don't have to worry about this. It's already been passed, but we're going to take care of you. What we have done as a commission has passed up the opportunity to seek funding through the stimulus packages and everything else for Slough Hollow or anything that had to do with the county, because we thought Arkansas Fish and Game was going to take care of our situation in Slough Hollow. So we have not approached any grant money or anything else to help in trying to solve the problem, because this has been a long, drawn-out affair, if I might put it stated as such. And the projects that are affected are projects that may not seem like they're important to you, but the fact is we've got this bus route over there that we have put up with for years, when we could put that in on a stimulus plan and possibly got funding to do the road. But us as commissioners and our road and bridge superintendent and our grant writers, we passed up Slough Hollow. We passed up the KDOT project over there because the Corps is trying to work with us on that. So you put us in a rather unusual position to leave a road in the same condition that it's in now, when we could have sought to have it improved through stimulus funding or other grants that are available to the county. I myself would, if I was in your shoes, I'd be trying to promote doing it the way you're wanting to do it. But I'm in my shoes, and I want to see the county citizens not have to go 25 miles out of the way and children on a bus to take possible, that's not the best county road we've got, but it's the best we can afford over there, but to take and have them on a 25-mile stretch, and the chance of injury or accidents or things like that increases tremendously. And we have waited this period of time to do anything on that road because we were informed at the Taming Center and at Theodosia that you guys would take care of us, not only on these two projects. We're kind of stepping on. We've got other projects like the Barker Hole and things like that are going to be tremendously affected, that people have to go around to come in from the backside of Cassine Mills over here, that little steep drop that's across there. Those things are things that we would address ourselves and take on our shoulders to try to get funding for, but we've lost out on that now.
Have you got a plan for BART roll?
No. The only thing we are addressing was contained in the project report that the Corps submitted. I mean, I'm not familiar with any of the roads other than Slough Hollow and then the KDOC road. So I can't speak to, you know, to the...
Well, Danny's mentioned the list. I don't know
what happened to the list.
This list is or not, but we've talked along the way that there's more than Slough Hollow. Mm-hmm. And today we're sitting here and all we're talking about is Slough Hollow. And
a half fix on that, too.
I may seem unreasonable. I don't care. I mean, this project was put on us. The community didn't want it. It's a 5-foot project. Mm-hmm. And we're not, Barker Hole, I don't know how many we got, but I know Barker Hole. We can run up there and look at it. And again, as I said earlier, I feel like that you're just trying to get by with the least you can. And as Danny said, we can understand you wanting to do that. But for my part, we don't want the least. We want to be treated right on this. And whether it's Barker Hole, that's a shorter detour, or Slough Hollow, or whoever it is, what's your term? Reasonable continued use. And we want to be treated right.
Well, I can understand and appreciate that. And again, I can't speak to the Barker Hole and the whole other list of roads because I wasn't involved with that. We are involved with Slough Hollow Road.
If I can interrupt, Mike, why not? Why are we sitting at this table with all of you guys, all this horsepower here, so to speak, and why do we not have more Slough Hollow on the road, on the table? I mean, we've not been silent about this. Danny's been very vocal about it.
Let me tell you. Mr. Biggs was sent, whenever he was made his presentation up here, and he was sent a list. We had this list of roads here, but he was sent 10 of the priority list by our Road and Bridge Department. And they realized that they had got the list, but they couldn't find the list that was presented. And there was 10 projects on the list. Mm-hmm. Well, all we've heard since then is, of course, we've been doing projects with the Corps. Has been gracious enough to let us have certain projects and work well with us. I think that when they went and looked, they were well satisfied with what we're trying to do in Taney County with lake accesses. And we've set those to the third. We have turnarounds at minimum flow where we didn't get down farther than that. Mm-hmm. So, if we had 10 projects, and now we're down to talking about one project, and then KDOC is a major problem for everybody. That's the Corps, and the county's been, you know, trying to get something done there for quite some time. Mm-hmm. But why would we want to settle for one project that's half done when we originally had 10 projects that needed to be done? Mm-hmm. So that's where it kind of, when we talk about just fixing Slough Hollow up to where it's no improvement, because you're going to raise the water, we're going to have just as much flooding as we've had. We've passed all the stimulus monies up, and so we're not fixing anything that is a benefit to the citizen. This is the Eastern County Commissioner. This is the presiding commissioner. We're responsible for those citizens over there. And we would have had the top priorities been Slough Hollow and KDOC and these other places if we hadn't been promised in these meetings. I mean, I can understand that when you've got a large crowd around citizens that are upset and everything, and you're sitting in that meeting, and the best thing to say is we'll take care of you. And the thing of it is we're not going to be taken care of.
Well, and I'll disagree with you there. I mean, taking care of, obviously, I mean, there were some different expectations and interpretation of what taken care of, because if I'm hearing you right, your definition of taken care of is that we were going to solve the flooding problem on Slough Hollow Road. And that was never the intent, either on our part or I'm going to expect from the Corps. And it certainly wasn't wouldn't what Congress envisioned in the language that set up minimum flow. I mean, they said, let's not harm anybody. Let's keep everybody within a reasonable continued use of...
Make them whole, basically.
Yeah, keep them whole.
Intended with their legislation.
And so that's, I can't speak to, you missing the opportunities for stimulus funding to fix Lew Hall Road. I mean, maybe...
I can see your point there a little bit. And look at it a little bit different from Danny on that. But I'd like an answer to the question. Why are we only talking about Slough Hall Road today? Hmm. We've been at this for how long?
Well, I'd say, if you sent that to the Corps, and I worked with Mike Biggs a long time, and, I respect his capabilities and his leadership of this project over at the Corps. Glenn's fairly new to come to it, so Glenn doesn't have any history with the EIS portion of it and the vetting of the project. So that's probably going to have to be something that Mike Biggs is going to have to reply to be honest with you.
Not all the project anymore.
Correct. Yeah, Glenn is now the project leader for the Corps of Engineers on the minimum flow, and he came on once the project report and the final EIS were signed off on.
So, I hate to be hard.
Well, that's okay.
Danny well said, we represent our county, and I don't think our county. I don't think you're treating this right.
Well, what would be treating right? Let's just talk because I can't speak of that list.
We made a list years ago. Danny's made a bit of a fit about it for a poor way of saying it. At one of the meetings, the list was lost. I mean, Taney County has been very clear that there's more than Slough Hollow. Yet we're here today, and nothing is said about anything except Slough Hollow. The perception I get is we'll fix Slough Hall and Taney County will be all right. Mm-hmm. But that's not the way I see it.
When I called your office, I was pretty clear that the purpose of the meeting was to talk about the Slough Hall Road solution. And if you would have raised this other thing that we want to talk about these other projects and things, Commissioner Purnell, I'm trying to be frank with you here.
Right,
that we didn't come prepared to talk about this list and the other priorities.
Let's go ahead and talk about Slough Hall all day long. But when we get done at the end of the day, you're not treating us right, I don't think. And it's aggravating that we've gone through meeting after meeting, and we're getting left out.
I don't want to speak for the Corps, but I would bet that they can answer what happened to the other projects. I don't think they just let it slip through the cracks or lost it and are ignoring the issue. I know Mike better than that, and I respect it. So if we could set that issue aside and let Glenn try to answer that part of the question, what happened to the other roads that were submitted?
And I sent an email. I don't know a response unless Tracy or John, y'all can shed some light.
I don't really. Mike Biggs is probably the best source of information for history.
If y'all have an email, I can get you some information if you'll provide.
Can I involve you guys just a little bit? Because you know that every time that you've been at a meeting, and you guys know that every time that this has been brought up, 10 roads has been brought up that were somehow acknowledged to start off with, but then the paperwork was lost. And I can't say what happened to it or what. Randy and I, when we were asked at the Taney Center up here when Mr. Biggs was there, and we were asked, as county commission, you bring these projects to us. Well, Randy Hayes, I took off time from county business to go and get with Randy, and we did mapping, we did everything that needed to be done, and it was 10 projects. We had this list, but we prioritized 10 projects that would be mostly affected, this bus route for 25 miles around it and all this kind of stuff. We prioritized that and turned it in, and it wasn't our fault that it was lost. Maybe it was our fault that we didn't keep that record of those 10 roads because we thought that once it got to that point that it wouldn't be our problem anymore. We got this big list, but I don't have the 10 roads that were prioritized on there. Randy's on vacation today. It's an unfortunate deal, and so much time had went by when we talked to him about it. He said, well, I can't remember every road that was on there because we prioritized. But the thing of it is this is not went unnoticed, because I have been, as Chuck said, and I have been a voice on this every meeting that we've had. Every meeting. Theodosia up here. Harrison. I don't know how many more Frank's been to, but this has been something that's been stated constantly. Now, if you guys want to talk about Slough Hollow, which is posted, and we want to talk about KDOT, which is posted, that's fine. I'm great with that. But that's not the end. That's not the end as far as we're concerned. Because, as the Corps knows, Taney County has done their part. When we've dealt with the Corps, we have done our part and more, because we wanted to satisfy them, and we wanted to satisfy the citizens. And so this puts us in a rather unusual predicament, as the old term is. So if you guys want to talk about what we're going to do here, I would like to see if you're going to try to eliminate some projects, I would like to see this project at least be done to a standard that we didn't have to go back and worry about it, because we just don't do things like that. I'm saying, and we've got the examples for Tracy and John that show that we don't operate like that. When we fix a road, we fix it to try to take care of the issue. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're at. And I think, I mean, Chuck knows I've just been on my soapbox with it, you know. So.
Right. Well, again, I'll go back and say, if we can set the issue of the 10 other roads aside for a moment and let Lynn work with Mike and get you an answer on that, because quite honestly, I don't know what happened to them. Yeah, I wasn't part of all that vetting of those roads and the decision. I can say that we did work with the Corps and set a filter elevation based off of frequency and flood duration curves that the Corps uses, hydraulic analysis of the impacts of the water level changes on Bull Shoals. To identify a benchmark elevation on the lake that everything below would be treated. It would be addressed in a facility modification. And that elevation is 661, I think. I think it's 661. And so in the project report, and I hope y'all got a copy of the project report. I mean, I'm making the assumption y'all did, because it identifies, you know, the whole process that was used to make the decisions on what was going to be relocated and what wasn't going, what was eligible and what wasn't.
And we drew a baseline around it, around the lake, my memory is correct, and established a baseline, like Mike's talking about, what would and what would not be affected,
right,
based on LIDAR surveys.
Yeah, and so everything below 661 was, in the opinion of the Corps and their project report, had significant impacts to it. Not that anything above 661 was going to have zero impacts, because everybody knows, I mean, the lake has a flood pool elevation up to 695. So, you know, things are still going to get wet during the year. But anything between below 661 had significant impacts because of the change in flood storage. And so that's where Slough Hollow Road was identified. Now, that's as far as I know. If these other roads are above 661, that may have been why they're not included in the project report. I don't know, and that's why I'm saying let's set that aside for a moment and let Mike and Glenn deal with that, or Glenn deal with Mike and get y'all an answer on that. Because we did come prepared to talk about Slough Hollow Road and why we're proposing to elevate it 3 feet, but we're certainly not opposed to working with y'all and partnering with you to make improvements to Slough Hollow Road above what we think is our reasonable obligation to keep that road whole, so that it's not being impacted any more than it currently is under current operation of the lake.
I still got to argue that this is a 5-foot project, and you can explain it like you have, but it's still, to me and to the public, a lot of the public were at these meetings, 5-foot project, and so what are you lazy county commissioners doing letting them raise it 3 foot when it's a 5-foot project? And we're not lazy. And that's...
Well, what would y'all...
I think y'all want raise it 5 feet is what I think.
The 5 foot?
Could I ask some fundamental questions? Frank Preston, Road and Bridge Administrator, been here about 3 years. I did read the project report page by page. It was a rather lengthy document. And I was just here like a month or two when I had read it, so I didn't have a good handle of what Taney County in and of itself was in the road system and the lakes and how they interacted. But in my 3 years here now, the public talks to me a lot, and the five-foot thing is a big concern of Taney County citizens. They truly believe it's a five-foot change in elevation, so there's some public teaching to be done there. It's truly the average of three, but when everyone I've ever talked to calls it a five-foot change in elevation, whether it is or not. And what I think Randy did was take some survey instruments out and go and survey every single location where Taney County roads or facilities impacted or were next to the lake. He went out and surveyed to 659, and that may be where the discrepancies at. Maybe that wasn't an accurate way to see what our impacts would be. If you're using the three-foot number and he went out with the five-foot number, that could be a discrepancy there. A really fundamental question for me is, the purpose of minimum flow, as I understand it, is because of dissolved oxygen and the trout habitat, and has to tie in with the economy down south below Taney County and all that. Is that true?
Not on dissolved oxygen. The two biggest problems with the fisheries below Bull Shoals and Norfolk, but we're just focusing on Norfolk, are temperature, especially during the summer, and dissolved oxygen. Minimal flow is only designed to address the temperature limit, but it has the added benefit of increasing the wetted perimeter, the wetted area, the base wetted area below the dam by about 40%. So it's going to raise the tailwater at base flow about 6 to 10 inches, depending on you know, the shape of the valley and things like that. So from the economic standpoint, yes. I mean, it has a very definite economic benefit to North Arkansas and the trout fishery in that area, because it will allow when there's no generation coming from Bull Shoals Lake and the tailwaters get down to base flow, you know, it's basically a series of holes. And yeah, you got a little bit of flow between shoals and stuff, but you can't navigate over them. And in the area about midway down on the tailwater, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the White River, but about 30 miles below Bull Shoals, about where the Buffalo River runs in, the waters warm up enough that we annually sustain trout die-offs. They occur just about every year, some heavier than others. And what it'll do is it'll stabilize that water temperature further downstream so that we don't have as bad. It's not going to cure it, but it'll improve the temperature stability of the tailwaters, so that all the you know, the incentive for people to fish and the health of the trout fisheries would be improved in that sense. Oxygen, it won't improve on Bull Shoals. It will on Norfolk, and that just happens to be because of the way the system's been designed to pass minimum flow. On Bull Shoals, the minimum flow will actually go through an existing turbine. It'll just spin real slow. So there'll be some electricity produced, but if it's water's low on oxygen coming out of the lake, it's not going to put any more oxygen into it. Norfolk's a little bit different. They're not going to use an existing turbine. They're building a siphon, and at the end of the siphon, it'll spray water out so you get aeration. So a little bit different on the delivery. But that's, again, that's the purpose of minimum flow.
One of the things I've heard since I've been here is that we've talked about this project forever. Some people say it's not going to happen, and some people think it's happened already. With today's economy and the way things are going, do you have funding for this? Do you have a forecasted date when you see implementation happening? Or
yes. Now there are several things that have to happen for minimum flow.
Are we 10 years out from it happening?
No, I think we're probably between 3 and 5. To be honest with you. What has to happen is minimum flow cannot be implemented until the facility modifications identified in the project report have been addressed and taken care of, and that Empire Electric, which owns and operates the Power Site Dam, are fully compensated for their loss of hydropower benefits because Bull Shoals will back up on Power Site Dam, again, that average 3 foot. And again, and even in that analysis, the 3 foot was used. It wasn't a static 5 foot. But they have to be compensated. And Congress directed Southwest Power Administration, which is a part of the Department of Energy that markets the power out of Bull Shoals and Norfolk. They directed them to create a sub-account to collect monies to compensate Power Site, Empire Electric at a minimum of, I think the final determination was $27 million that for their hydropower losses over the life of Power Site Dam, which they said is going to last another 50 years. So for 50 years, they figured that they'd have a $27 million loss in benefits. They have to be compensated for that. And Southwest Power Administration is on track. They have created a sub-account. They are collecting the revenues to make that buyout. They have to pay it off at a minimum $5 million a year. So they could take up to 5 years to pay that out. But in conversations I've had with Southwest Power, they plan to pay it out under an accelerated schedule. They'd like to make just one payment, $27 million, and get done with it. So depending on how quick Empire Electric's compensated and how quickly we do all the facility modifications around the lake, it's going to dictate how quick. And that's why I'm saying 3 to 5 years. We do have funding for it. Our commission has allocated a little over $3 million for the facility modifications on Bull Shoals and Norfolk. We're starting on Norfolk because it just happened to be ready first. We don't know what the final cost will be, so that $3 million figure is just kind of an estimate right now. We are in the process of getting cost estimates at all the facilities that we have to relocate. And the majority of them, with the exception of Slough Hollow and KDOC, all the rest of the impacts identified in the project report are on core properties, core parks, parking lots, boat ramps, swim beaches, and the like. And I think there's about 22 of those. And so we're putting together plans to correct.
In Cheney County, we have Beaver Creek and Buck Creek, and there may be more. Two that I use. Mm-hmm. Will there'll be some detrimental effects from the 3 to 5 foot elevation change possible? Will you make improvements to those parks?
I don't
know. Yeah, I think Beaver Creek gets some. We've got the maps there, Frank, where we can look at each one. It shows that they get raised a little bit or relocated to higher ground.
Like if we lose parking spots or something.
Yeah, Beaver especially, I think, does.
Yeah, and it's mostly just parking, swim beach, launch ramps.
It doesn't really hit any campsites, you know, at that elevation he's talking about. But and we can show you each one of those here in a minute in that big binder there.
I appreciate your answers. Didn't have some fundamental understanding.
I know, and this has been, you know, read it. You know, Congress authorized the reallocation in 1999, but from our standpoint, we've been working on it since the mid-70s. Yeah, I mean, if the first... We did what's called an in-stream flow determination where we wanted to find out what was the optimum flow in the White River for optimum trout habitat and livelihood. And we did that study back in the mid-70s, and we've been working on minimum flow ever since then. Now, to be honest with you, the optimum flow out of Bull Shoals was about 1,500 CFS. Well, we're not getting anywhere near that. We're getting probably about a third of that because of all the, you know, to get a 1,500 CFS minimum flow out of Bull Shoals, we'd probably have to reallocate about 25 feet out of the flood pool to provide that amount of water. So we're getting, I think it's 500 CFS.
Another comment I hear, I'm not knowledgeable enough in hydraulics of flooding to answer people's question, is will this minimum flow, once it's implemented, have a negative impact on flood control storage capacity? Or what would it have done in the year 2008?
Right.
If it was online already and we had that type of situation, does the flood line go up higher because of what's in the lake at the current time of the flooding? Or
Glenn, you want to answer that? I know how I would answer it, but Charles.
What we will do is our reservoir control will have a operating procedure that will be identified based on how we're going to operate the lake. So until that's all laid out, yes, there will be some impacts because we'll start releasing early. We'll start, as opposed to just generation, because of inflows, we will start releasing water through the spillway sooner. But that'll all be based on our reservoir control plan, and it'll all be laid out. I think we're supposed to start working on that here pretty soon.
So bottom line, it won't hurt flood control?
No.
What you're doing currently?
We'll just start releasing sooner is the bottom line, as opposed to what happens is when it's in the conservation pool, Southwest Power Administration takes over. Basically, they say they schedule their generators for on and off the system. Then what will happen when it goes into flood pool, our reservoir control will start looking at, okay, how do we want to evacuate that water, you know, based on forecast, overall 14-day forecast, 21-day forecast. Do we anticipate additional flows coming in? If the answer to that is no, then we may generate from the turbine. If the answer to that is yes, there's a lot more flow, we'll start spilling water soon. So that would be the process that would be laid out, and there would be certain levels, that, you know, based on these calculations, of how you relieve those flows.
Have you had objections from the farmers in the south? Because that's what we've understood in this area, that low shoals has leveled been a storage to not affect the farmers that lay south and their crops and things like that. When you take the fish part out of it, which I guess was according, see, we had support, I guess, from people like Johnny Morris with Mr. Campbell, Charlie Campbell was involved and everything, and this thing originally started off as a, because Charlie called me and asked me why I was opposed to some of the things that were taking place, and I said, I'm not opposed, I'm concerned. And the thing was that the farmers in the south was the reason that the little shoals and all this stuff was to let them get their crops in and the different time frames and the holding of water till a certain time. And I mean, is that a misconception?
It depends on which side of the fence you're on, because, you know, we get comments, and I'm not in reservoir control. I just hear, you know, if you hear some of the farmers, they talk about us flooding them. So, mm-hmm. You know, each interest has a different perspective, and when we basically make a change, an operational change to a reservoir control plan, basically we send it out to all the stakeholders that are concerned so that they get their input in. And we have to take that because, like you said, people on the lakeside want the water evacuated as soon as possible. People on the farmers want it held back to get their crops out. All those interests, competing interests, have to be taken into account when you make a modification of how you're going to evacuate a reservoir.
I mean, that's off the subject of what we're dealing with here today, but I just wondered because that's been our perception.
I was on a meeting the other day where we were talking about the Arkansas River, and they were talking about the towing industry was the one. They wanted to evacuate the pools up in Oklahoma, you know, when one big shot. Well, then you've got flooding all along the river system, so you've got vested interest. You know, it's all competing for the same type of purposes, and you have to take all those interests into account to make sure that you're doing the best for the system, not for an individual or a group. But everybody will have an opportunity to comment on how we, when we change the plan, how we're going to go about evacuating the reservoir.
I see that Chuck's on the same page that I am, that we thought that we were going to talk about a 5-foot raise before you got here on the Slough Hollow area, and I guess we haven't even got around KDOT yet to visit about what's there. I know there's grant monies for the paving and stuff that is down there. We were wanting to visit some about that, but What are we going to come to? Are we going to sit here and talk about this? We're going to try to come to a solution on the Slough Hollow project. And that's, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's just one project.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we go ahead and I'll let Dale explain what he's got drawn up on the Slough Hollow Road. We all see what we have anticipated.
Okay. 60% metal right now. It's we have prepared the construction drawings to reflect the 3 foot rise that Mike's talking about. That number that will maintain the status quo. I think if I can use the analogy of a car and an insurance replacement, if you're driving a Chevrolet and you total it, the insurance company is going to replace that with a Chevrolet. They're not going to give you a Cadillac for it. And so what we've done is replace the status quo with another Chevrolet. Now then, we have prepared the drawings to reflect what it would look like if you did add that 2 additional feet for a 5 foot rise. And what we were prepared to discuss is that if the county wanted to seize that opportunity to raise the road, whatever additional amount they might want to raise it, that we could incorporate that into this project. We're prepared to raise the road 3 feet, put an asphalt surface on it. The difference in improvement would be whatever amount of additional fill that you wanted to place on the fill that we've got to place, and then we'd still put the asphalt surface on it. We've also enhanced the drainage structures that go under Slough Hollow Road that were undersized, so that when you have these flash flood conditions, if you will, and a thunderstorm, that water will not be as likely to overtop Slough Hollow Road for short periods of time, that sort of thing. And we'll leave this set of drawings with you so that, you know, you can review it with your road superintendent in more detail, and if there's other questions that come up then, you know, we can address those. But there's about, I think it's close to 0.8 miles that will be involved in this project.
Have you done calculations on what the additional 2 feet would be as far as cubic yards of fill?
Yeah.
Okay. So we would know what those numbers are?
Yeah. There's 3,164 feet of Slough Hollow Road that is affected by this project. And this first, you know, we're just going to be maintaining the same alignment of the road as it exists now. What we propose to do is to cut some of the face of that rock bluff along there so that we move the shelf over so that we're not wasting a lot of fill material that's going to drop off into the lake now. We're going to cut back into the embankment.
So if we had the opportunity to work in together, would we have that resource available to us, that rock bluff, to use as fill?
Yeah, we've done some work. We've talked to some contractors and so forth about whether it's more feasible for them to, you know, set a pressure up on site and crush that rock that's blasted off the bluff versus hauling it in. And I think right now the economy suggests that it's cheaper to haul the rock fill in rather than move a crusher in to crush that rock. You know, the economy can change, and that would be a contractor's choice, whichever he chose to do on that. But it would be a possibility. That first sheet was nothing but the road. The second sheet is still nothing but the road. There's the profile up here. The finished elevation that we're proposing for Slough Hollow is the 663.20, and that's the number that the Corps has given us that says if we raise the level of the road to that elevation, the level of reliability will be the same after minimum flow is implemented as it is right now.
And that's 663.
663.2. 663.2 is the center line.
Okay.
We use the low edge at 663.0 with the cross slope.
Because I thought I heard 661 mentioned earlier. What was that figure?
That was the benchmark elevation at anything below 661. If it was a lakeside facility, is eligible for modification.
What's the current elevation?
It varies.
I think the low is below 660, right at 660, or that, will be on the cross section. It looks like 659 is the lowest it gets.
659.1, 659.2, 659.0 looks like the lowest.
So in that particular spot, it's actually going to go up 4 feet.
4 feet, yeah. Okay.
At station about, what would be about the midpoint of the project, and y'all that are familiar with the road probably know where that midpoint is. There's a gully that comes down, and there's some existing culverts that I've never seen when they weren't underwater, but I'm assuming they were not very, they were probably like corrugated steel, weren't they, Mike, and beginning to become unserviceable. And at that point, we were going to install double 84-inch diameter reinforced concrete pipes with flared in sections and curtain walls to replace those corrugated steel pipes that have a textbook life of 25 years, which, depending on your water pH, can be anywhere from 2 to 5 years to 50 years, depending on the water. But certainly that's an upgrade to the road right there.
People listening in are going,
oh. Sorry about that. Then at station 27 plus 95, there's another culvert. It's a much smaller culvert. We'll be replacing with 30-inch diameter reinforced concrete pipe and flared in sections. All the pipe that we replace, we'll replace with reinforced concrete in lieu of corrugated steel that may have been existing. And that's the simple review of the roadway plan. We provided cross sections also that show where we would be, you know, cutting into the embankment and reestablishing the shelf there, if you will. If we kept the road right where it is and tried to raise it, then you're going to lose a lot of your fill material falling off the slope into the lake. So if we move it over, we can have better efficiency with the fill. And we've checked with the surveys and talked with Corps, and it's our understanding that bluff there, that's still on Corps property, where we'd be cutting that shelf down.
They have, I don't have a record of when they improved on the road, when we chip and sealed it or when we paved it, they actually blasted that bluff there and had permits from the Corps and everything. I think that was during my dad's run as presiding commissioner that took place. And at that point, it was the total benefit of the thing was for the school bus route and the length of time that the kids were on the bus, and that's the reason they went that route. And then
when we finished the road, our intent in lieu of chip seal was to place, but the highway, with the Arkansas Highway Department terms, is type 2 hot mix asphalt concrete in lieu of chip seal. So you're going to have a much more
stable,
durable roadway surface also, which is just going to be an upgrade to the road. A pavement surface is typically going to have a 20-year design life versus 5 years for your chip seal. There's typical sections of our improvement shown here. And the way that we would propose to structure the project is that the base bid, well, the base bid would be if Taney County wanted to seize the opportunity to work on the project cooperatively and do any further enhancements, basically the fill, whether it's 2 feet or 4 feet, whatever
the county might determine that they wanted to enhance that roadway, we could structure the bid schedule such that the base bid included the whole gamut of work with a deductive alternate for that part of the fill that would be an improvement to the county, so that if the bid for that part of the work was more than the county wanted to bear, then we could simply take it out of the project and we would go on to maintain the status quo.
One of the things that the county likes to do, Taney County is fortunate to have a large workforce, they have a lot of heavy equipment, and they have the ability to do quality road work like this. So instead of paying X percentage to create that fill or put that fill in, we would like to do, or at least explore the option of in-kind services.
We talked about that, and certainly if the county's got the resources to do that, we would be open to cooperating with the county to do that. We would contract, our contractor would come in and bring it up to the status quo, which is determined to be the 66320, and then we can delay the asphalt so that the county would have time to do the in-kind service if they had the resources available to bring it up, whatever additional elevation they might want to do.
And when you do that, Frank, and of course you said you had a drawing there of the 5 foot, that we, if we wanted to do that, I mean, is it engineered? Is that we're going to have to do the engineering cost, or you already got that done?
We've already got the cost figured. I don't think that is shown on the profile, but we have figured the cost. Yeah. Do you have that number, Mike? What the difference? What the value of that 2 feet is?
The quantity or the cost?
The cost.
Okay.
We can send you that number in an email, what that cost would be. We got the quantity. You said we got the quantities.
I thought you were asking, do we have the profiles on the engineer?
Yeah, for five foot versus the.
That's what you said.
You just raise it.
You just strike a red line. This 663-2, that's consistent over the whole length of the project. The existing road has got humps and dips, and this 663 is a constant elevation. It would be tilted rather than having a ditch on the bluff side, we would just tilt the road so that it would have a flat crown sloped toward the lake.
That brings all questions to me, and and if I don't speak them whenever I think of them, they know that as a commissioner, I can't respond to you. What I'm saying is, you've got even with a 3 foot raise that you're talking about, which you know the feelings of the commission here. You're going to have some guardrail. You're going to have to, when you increase the 2 foot, the toe in is going to be so much greater to toe in on a 5 foot raise than it is on a 3 foot raise. And so the availability of materials is going to be a very important thing in the cost to the county. We're going to have to actually delay our decision with you till we can look at our budget for next year. Because if we take on a project like this and we have 10 county roads that we're wanting to take in, say before we could make any decision, we have we start budget hearings in the middle of this month anyway. So,
and we're not here today to ask you for a yes or no answer. Like I said, this is a 60% submittal, and that's why we're coming now. Our target date for 100% submittal on all of the core park projects and this project is December. So that's why we're coming today, so we've got a chance to all come to the table and make these decisions rather than dropping it in your lap and saying, we want to advertise for bids next week. We're not doing that.
I've got a question for you, Danny. What's your sense? We've been brought two sets of plans, 3 foot and an additional 2 foot. Why did they bring us two sets of plans like that?
Because I think they understood that we were going to, that we understood it was a 5 foot raise. I mean, basically, I'm not trying to muddy the waters of what we're talking about. We come here to talk about Slough Hollow and KDOT. But I feel that that's the reason that you did that, because in the previous talks that we've had, the 5 foot raised, whether it be consistent with what you said or not. That's, and as Frank said, the public out here, they think you're raising it 5 foot. I mean, that's just that's the whole deal behind it. But that's the reason I ask you about guardrail for that length of distance, because you're going to have to do something there with that road. It's going to have guardrail on it if you raised it 5 feet or if you raised it 3 feet. And so we might as well, you figure that into the package. But we're going to have to figure, we're going to have a budget conference with Frank to discuss any part of this thing.
The reason why we've got two elevations to talk about, you can talk about, you know, 5 foot rise, you can talk about 6 foot rise, whatever. The Arkansas Game and Fish Commission responsibility is to mitigate everything so that it's at the status quo. We know the history behind Slough Hollow Road and that it frequently floods, and we knew that this was an opportunity that while we were doing this work, the county could rectify some of that problem to improve the reliability as a partner on this project if they so choose, if they so chose. You know, a ton of work, I'm sorry. But that was the whole premise for that. Like I said, you know, the low elevation is 659 now, so there's parts of the road that we're raising 4 feet.
There's a potential for Tiger III grant opportunities to come up. Do you have enough information to where we could possibly try and acquire a grant versus, I don't know if it's a $500,000 cost to the county right now or a $2 million cost to raise an additional 2 feet. But do you have enough information that we could possibly seek a grant?
Yeah,
as Danny stated earlier, we kept these out of our even the planning stages because there was an assumption made by us that it was to be taken care of.
Mike's got the quantities. I'm saying the only thing you're dealing with is fill, and we typically use, you know, for our estimating purposes, the RS means heavy construction cost data or the Arkansas Highway and Transportation Department weighted means, and I'm sure you use some point of reference to develop your estimates. We can simply give you our quantities, and you can apply the information that you use to develop your own estimates for grant purposes, and we can do that today, give you that information today.
That'd be great.
Now, on the subject guardrail, I'm not sure where this is coming from, because the existing road has no guardrail on it.
But we're raising it. See, and our issue is
we're moving the road over so that the, you know, the drop off and so forth to the lake is no different than it is now. As far as, you know, the safety,
I mean,
you've got this drop off now, and the lake comes up, and we're moving it over, and you've got the same slope, for example, along here. So we're not changing the geometry of the roadway any different than what it is now.
My question for Frank and Danny, we're talking about looking at our budget to finance, and we're talking about looking for grant funds to finance, and I don't think we ought to be doing that.
Let me give you guys just an example of what we've done. It involves a road that that went through the Corps to get something done on. It was the road
at Fannyville.
No, over here at Rockaway.
Oh, Boys Camp.
Boys Camp Road. We applied for a CBG grant and had to raise that road 6 feet over there. And so, see, we're in a planning stage of getting these things done for safety issues. And when I talk about guardrail, it's irresponsible of Taney County not to have a guardrail on a road that a school bus is traveling on next to the lake. It's not there now because the road is basically leveled with the lake most of the time, or underwater sometimes. But there would have to be a guardrail put in there.
And that's an item that, you know, if in the course of developing this project, if the county wanted to add that to our schedule and then pay for that added amenity, that can be added into the scope of work at the county's expense.
I don't know.
It is an enhancement for the status quo.
And I don't have a problem with that. If it's like you're saying, if our slope and all that's, I don't have a problem with something like that.
And that's shown on the cross sections here, and you can, you know, review that, study that at your leisure after the meeting today.
Okay.
We're going to move on to KDOC.
But we haven't even looked at, I've not seen KDOC.
They want to take a look at KDOC today, Danny.
We're planning a site visit.
Okay.
I kind of know about his concept, so we don't have any hearing drawings.
We may have to copy that.
Well, now you guys do, though.
Well, I think we're going to work something out pretty good there. You know, we've talked with you about that. We know it's a problem for the county. And you know, during the high water, we do have some funding to do some road repairs there. So I think between all three of us there, we may be able to do something that works out good for everybody.
There was an engineer from the Corps there, and I was down on the site. And basically got into it with a citizen down there. And you remember that? That was you. Okay. I was trying to put faces together because I figured that person would be here. But actually, didn't we have 14 that was going to have to be raised 14 feet there across that dip, that the lowest point?
At that day, I wasn't taking any elevations or anything. I was out there basically measuring distances and widths and lengths, and I never really have put a transit to where that would have to be. We discussed that option at the time. That was kind of news to me, and I went back and talked to Tracy and John. They kind of brought me up to speed, but at that time I was simply looking at flood damage to what had happened and what would need to be remediations would have to be made to fix what happened. Now, when you brought up that stuff and that kind of, and I went back and talked to John and Tracy, and they brought me up to speed on all this stuff that we're talking about today.
Right.
But so I really don't know what elevation it needs to be raised to.
There's somewhere, and these guys will tell you, the figure's sticking in my mind, and somewhere along the line, when talking to an engineer or something there, we had 14 feet that in the lowest point over there that needed to be raised to keep it out of water for the entire flooding process. So the way that goes down, it might be, from here to the wall there, as far as I know, the 14 feet, but that's an unusual situation down there. And if the Corps would be in agreement, and Chuck and I had talked about this, and I don't know if Frank was involved in these conversations, because we've talked about KDOC for a long time, but if we could take and get some material off of one of those bluffs that's already existing there and improve the boat launch, that when the water's up, people can't get around to launch the boats, and improve the boat launch with taking the bluff off and make a nice situation that would look great for the Corps and look great for us. That's my sole purpose of talking about these issues is trying to make you guys look good, along with us getting an improvement that would be satisfactory to the public. And if we could take off part of that bluff there to use for the material, the cost savings would be tremendous. There's no houses on that one side but the old park, and the other side has a lot of dirt on it, and so a site visit might be something that's
very valuable. No, we want to do that, and we were going to do that early this morning, but we kind of moved the meeting up, so we were going to catch Mike and them afterwards and go out there and look. And I think there's a good chance there, what you described, and I think Game and Fish is probably part, as far as the minimum flow is, hey, here's what we would have done to kind of put you back where we found you, and we'll show you that, and then the rest of it we'll start working on between us and the county, or maybe even Missouri Department of Conservation has had an interest in the access there, and we may try to bring them in somewhere along the way.
Now, the way I understood it, you got either a $290,000 or a $390,000 grant for the paving surface and things like that. If that can be applied after all this work's done, then, it's a win-win situation for you and us. And the boat launch that could be put in there for when we do all of our work here. It's anything on the core area or for turnarounds or anything. We do all of our work with this 5-foot minimum raise in mind. And Randy went out to these job sites that we sent in to the Corps for approval. All those are for 5 foot of added water raise and above. So it's not a misconception that we thought that it was 5 feet and still do, because we've done every project Randy's went out and shot those individual sites for a 5 foot and put those above that water stage. So I don't want you gentlemen to think we're hard-nosed in what we're trying to get along with you, but I mean, that's been what was told to us, and that's what we've worked off of now for since 99.
Okay, let me shed some light, and that may not be clear. In the report, there is a definition, I guess you can say, of reasonable continued use. It says, in the context of implementing White River Mineral Flow, all core, private, and lake, public lake facilities, including but not limited to structures, roads, and utilities, within the lake level elevation of 660 and below at Bull Shoals and 554.5 and below at Norfolk qualify for modifications or relocation if they were significantly impacted. That's where the coordinate, now I don't know about these the additional roads or anything else, but I'm assuming that's where they set that bench line and they identified anything below that would be impacted, anything above that is not impacted.
And that would have been very handy for us before we sent our man out to do all this. All these shots that are on this are all above a 5 foot water raise.
Well, that's, it does give you an extra level of margin of flood risk by doing that. I don't think it was a bad decision to do that. Yeah, I'm just saying in the manifestation of the way the lake level is going to respond to the middle. It won't be, take a look at it right now and just imagine it 5 foot higher. That's not what it's going to be. It's going to be, you know, take a look at it now and it'll be on average 3 feet higher. Some years going to be lower, some years going to be higher. And that's, you know, that's just a the beast that we're dealing with on the flood control.
You know, let me tell you, the public is looking at it when it rips at the tightest 5 foot higher.
If you're being impacted, you definitely.
That's the way they're looking at it. Whenever they think about it, they're thinking, well, you know, this thing's been up in the park down here. If we add 5 feet to that, where's it going to go? Yeah. And that's the way they look at it. I mean, and that's the way they deal. The commission has to deal with it. That's the way we have more or less planned our deal with the Corps and all that kind of stuff. Well, so you can see where we're at.
If we took a very strict interpretation of what Glenn just read off, you know, Slough Hall Road is really just marginally up that 660. But we went ahead and said, let's go ahead and raise it, you know, to that 63.2 benchmark and then keep it so that basically it'd be no different than it is right now. I mean, that's been our, I take your comments fairly, that y'all want it to be treated fairly. We really think we are treating y'all fairly on Slough Hall Road, because it's not going to flood any more than it does right now. So whatever reliability it has now, it's going to continue. Plus, we're giving you an improved surface and better drainage. We're giving you a better road than we have right now.
I think an element that a lot of people, all the focus has been on raising the lake. But I grew up on Bull Shoals Lake, and I know that in drought seasons, you can't get a boat up to the foreside here when the lake gets low. And by raising the lake to this minimum flow, you're going to have a lot better serviceability on the lake for your tourists during drought seasons than you have now. And that's not even been considered in the discussions.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I had thought of that a little earlier in our conversation this morning. The meeting that Lenny mentioned at the Taney Center, there was one gentleman who's a friend of mine, not close, but know him fairly well, that has a dock on Taney Como, and he believes what you just said, and I trust that he's right, that the water, more water is going to possibly be better for fishing and recreation and take-in. But the but is, it's going to affect our roads, and I'm thankful for that good possibility that's coming forward with the more water. There is the other concern that we're going to be flooding more and all that, of course. But I can say it kindly this time. I still don't think we're being treated fairly by only going 3 feet.
and I'd like to know when we're going to address the other road.
Well, what I'd like to do, I mean, what we came here today again is to talk about Slough Hollow and without any decision. We want to just present it out to y'all, let y'all think about the proposition of partnering with us, raising it up more than what we were originally proposing. Took me by surprise with the list of, looks like about 40 roads on there, but the 10 priorities, so I can't address on that. So let's set that aside. So one of the action items coming out of here is let Glenn work on getting y'all a response to what happened to the list of 10 roads. And then again, I think it was probably dealt with, during the review process, really don't know. So that'll be one.
Let me ask you a quick question. I've got a sheet here that's identified as Table 5 in Bull Shoals Roads. I'm just wondering if these were the roads that you've got identified. I'll make a copy or whatever.
These just make a copy of it because we won't be able to review them all out here.
Excluded because of the definition of reasonable contingency. I don't know that.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of somewhat new to the project, but I'll find that out and get you an answer. Can I get a copy of yours too?
Yeah. So what's taking place here on this, the reason there's so many on here, and the reason we eliminated them down to 10 is some of these were roads that were turnarounds, that had a turnaround at the end of them that we thought that the Corps would be, the county road would be affected by not having a turnaround when the water got up over the road, you see. Mm-hmm. So that's where any place that he found with a 5-foot elevation that was down close to the water, and Randy's worked here 29 years, so he has pretty a good idea what floods and what don't flood. So, and he lives on the eastern side of the county. So he took and every place he went to and shot that elevation that was the 5-foot raise from over what it was, and he knew that it flooded during ordinary times. He put that on this because we were asked to do so. And then I guess you did the elimination process with the what it says that Congress directed you to do, and that's not what we were told to do at all. I mean, we were told to go turn these roads in. And so that's what we've got here, and if they don't match up, some of them will. But now we've got a situation that's been talked about just like Slough Hollow. I don't think there's ever been a conversation we haven't talked about Barker Hole right along with it, but it may be higher than the 660, and so I don't know, see. But one thing about it is we need to make sure, because we had 10 projects turned in. And
well, we'll work with Glenn and his group, and we'll get y'all an answer on that one. And then as far as the Slough Hollow Road, what we'd like to do is leave it with you with the agreement that we'll set a revisit date with y'all. Let y'all have time to take a look at it, consider what's being proposed, with the options and stuff, and come back. And I don't know how long you might need to do that, but we're on task to have our part of the planning design done by December, but that's not written in stone on Slough Hollow Road for anything done. To be honest with you, Slough Hollow is one that we prefer to get done first because it is the most expensive of all the projects. All the rest of them around the lake are paved parking lots, moving up ramp. And there's a lot of them, it'll cost a lot, but this is the biggest expense. And being in Missouri, we knew that it'd be the one that that y'all had the most interested in and they'd be the most concerned about. So we kind of want to pay off and get dealt with early. So that's why we're here today.
Now, I don't want to get in your business with the Corps, but when you go look at KDOT, are you going to be looking at, you guys will be looking to them for some funding for a certain, just kind of like you've proposed on this other, for just a certain?
Yeah, if we weren't going to do anything else, we would want to say, what would you all do as far as minimum flow goes in this location?
Yeah, and then
we'll go from there.
And then we'll go from there, and you guys have got the grant for the paving surface, and if we could work with you on some of the other,
yeah,
because I
and you know,
considered
we may,
that
yeah,
a,
they 695, you know, we've talked about it. It's only gotten there once, and, you know, if we'll value that against the cost, and you all can too. We may have to pick an elevation that we can all live with, maybe 680 or 685 or, you know, whatever it is. We say, here's the breaking point, or maybe it can go all the way top. It'd be great if it can.
Yeah.
It won't, even though it won't get there very often, I hope.
Well, our working relationship with you guys has been extremely good.
Oh, no, we appreciate it. It certainly has.
In the past two or three years on these projects that we've come forward with, and you guys have came to us, and we've stepped up to the plate, and you guys have been willing to work with us on it.
We appreciate it.
So what we're wanting to do is develop, keep that same relationship, and you guys are involved in this mixture, so you're dealing with them. But whenever it gets to the final end, it's going to reflect on the Corps of Engineers in Taney County how we deal with these two particular projects, not what we think should be all the projects, because you can see that we think there's more projects. But these two projects we're talking about are going to reflect on county commission of what their decision-making process was, and I represent the people, and I'm going to stand my ground. So, yeah. So, you guys, are you headed to KDOC now?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to leave at 11:30 to go to that appointment up there, but I wouldn't care to drop by there with you and look at it. You guys are going to look at it. Chuck, you want to go drive up there and look at it too with them? Just, we'll try to keep our input at a minimum.
No, that's fine. We want to take a look. We're getting there before it gets hot. We're going to have our goal.
Yeah.
Missed that already.
We got to hurry.
Can we take a 5-minute recess and come back for just a few minutes?
Yeah, because I'll give you a summary of what's my role or responsibilities are. I need to make sure I was identified. Okay. Thank you.
All right, we'll go ahead and break up. Y'all can head that way.
Okay.
We'll be behind.